Okay, so we're on Daf Kufchet today. So in the Mishnah that you did yesterday, you began a new parak of Shmona Shratzim, and it spoke about Seder, but one aspect it spoke about Chabala, which is bruising these Shratzim. So the Gemara took it that when you bruise it, the blood, even though if the blood leaves the body, Vadai Yerchayev for Chovel, but if it bruises it and it has a thick skin, you're also chayav for chovel. In some way, the blood is like left. The one part of the body is soveya, the skin. That's one derech to say, or a type in the silas hashama. So the Gemara in Kuf Chedem and Aleph says on the fourth line, chayav of chule. So we said when it comes to chayav of, it says, so say to your patur because already captured, but chobahem chayev. If a person is chovel, the chayev, the oaf, he's chayev for that. He violates Shabbos. Let's take a look at the Gemara. Chayev oaf v'chulei. So Amar Rav Huna, kotfin tefillin al-gabi or shel oaf, tahor. So Rav Huna says that one can write tefillin on the hide, the skin of a kosher bird. So it means usually we write tefillin on the skin of an animal, usually a cow, but it's saying that I can use an oaf tahor to write tefillin. He says, Amar Rav Yosef, my kamashwalan. So he says, what was Rav Huna teaching me? The itlay or, is he teaching me that the skin is considered or? In other words, I have to have or to write it. Or means like a thick skin. He says, tanina, but I already know that from the Mishnah. I don't need Rav Huna to teach me anything about that because there's a Mefurish Mishnah and all the Yamarayim knew all the Mishnayot. Tanina chovel behen chayav, that says that if you do chabalah on the bird, and so if it's a kosher bird, so you're chayav for Kabbalah. Kabbalah means you bruised it and the blood comes to the surface. That means it has a thick skin. It has an oar. So Amar Le Abaye, so Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Tuva Kamashlan, Rav Huna was teaching us a lot with this. The Imi Matnitin, if I only had the Mishnah, he said, Ahabamin, I would have said, came into Itbe Nikve Nikve Lo, that since the bird's skin is filled with holes, because it has all the feathers, so when I'm not going to leave the feathers there when I'm writing the tefillin, so it has little sort of like micro holes, you know, small little holes in the skin. So I would have thought that it's not kosher. So Kamashmalan, Kida Amri Bama Rava. So he teaches that which we learned in the West in Eretz Israel. He says, Kol Nekev Shadio Overlav Eno Nekev, that if it's a hole, but like the ink will fill the hole. In other words, the ink is viscous. So as the person's writing, so it's a small hole. So the ink will fill the hole and they won't have a hole anymore. In other words, I won't see a hole after done writing with the ksav. So that's not considered to be a hole. So that's what Rav Huna was really teaching me, that I could use the bird skin for the tefillin.
Okay. Can you tell me exactly where you are? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay, we're on Kuf Chedem and Aleph, 108A, the 10th line. 108A, the 10th line. Okay, now we have Mativ Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira poses a question. The Gemara says it should really be, or the Arsa, it should really be Mativ. Meitve means we ask, and if it's a person, it's Mativ. So Rabbi Zeira poses the following question. Ruth, please mute yourself, Ruth, okay? So he says, Mativ Rabbi Zeira, Bichnafav, Lachshir to Or. So he's asking a question from a Brisa. The Brisa is by the Ola to Ov. The Ola to Ov is burnt on the Mizbeach. It's right in Ola. So, but she saw to bichnafav lo yabdil. He'll like rip it apart bichnafav. Here, bichnafav they teach us the feathers. So, the feathery part of the bird is going to go on the mizbeach to be burnt. Now, normally we know that or doesn't go on the mizbeach. Like if you have all the korbanot, like for nose, right? Like all the other korbanot, the hide is always taken off the animal. So, if it's true that the skin of a bird qualifies as or, why should it be that it's burnt on the mizbeach? So the Gemara says, "V'isak ha'daitach orhu hechi mar bilei kra." How could the pasuk tell me to offer or on the mizbeach? It's not kavod to offer the or on the mizbeach. So if it's what we're saying is true, that it's considered to be or halakhically or, how is it the Torah would direct me to burn it on the mizbeach? So Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye said to Reb Zeira, or who Rachman Aravya. In Achinami it's or, but the Torah teaches me this or I do bring. In other words, some or I don't bring, but the or of the oaf, the kosher bird, I do bring. Let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause for some questions, okay? We have a big daf today, which is why I'm trying to go a little bit quickly. You know, I want to get. So the Gemara says, Ikida Amri, other people say that the way this conversation went down in the base medrash was as follows. Amr Bzeira, Afanana Mitanina. The Rebzeira said, we also learned this in the Mishnah. b'chnafav, or rabot at or. He says the drasha is, v'shisauto b'chnafav, you'll like rip apart the bird, b'chnafav, you know, with its feathers, is the way the article translates it, and lo yavdil, and then you put it on the mizbeach, the rabot at or, to include the hide. Yamri b'shleima orhu, hanusjikra the rabuye. So he's taking it from the other tack. Here it's coming out that Reb Zera isn't asking a question. Reb Zera is saying that if you assume it's or, so I need a special ribui to teach me to bring it. I normally wouldn't bring it, but I need a special ribui in the Torah to teach me to bring it on the Mizbeach. So when the first version, Reb Zera was asking a question. The second version, Reb Zera is adducing proof that the or of the bird is considered to be or. El yamrit lav orhu, but if you assume that it's not even or, he says, amai yistri kral rabuye, why would I need a pasuk to specifically teach me to bring the or on the Mizbeach? So amar le Abaye, so Abaye said to Rabbi Zeira, Yulame Malach Lab Orhu. I could say it's not or from that proof. I don't think is you know conclusive, but Itzrich. But I would say that the limud is necessary. It's still necessary. Sakha Kamina, because I would have thought King Vindipe Pirtse Pirtse, since it has so many holes in it in the or. He says mice. It's like detestable. Kamash Malan. So he teaches me that it's still brought on the mizbeach. Okay, let me just pause for 1 second, and let's take a breath and review what we did, right, Fern? Okay, so the basic idea that we learned up till now, that we hooked into this from the Mishnah about the shratzim. So we said that if I bruise one of the 8 shratzim that are mentioned in the Torah, like these lizards, I'm chayv for chovel, and that means they have a very thick skin. Even if the blood doesn't come out, I'm still chayv for chovel, because it caused the blood to come to the surface. So thinner skinned animals, the blood just stays temporarily and goes back out. It's sort of like they said in the art scroll, it's like being slapped across the face. So it's red briefly, then it goes back out, back to where it was. But if it's a thick skinned animal, so I can get a bruise and be chayav from melechet chovel. So the Mishnah said that if I have a kosher bird, I'm chayav for chovel, meaning it's got a thick skin. So the Gemara says, so then the Gemara got into the sugya where Rav Huna said that we could write tefillin on the hide, the skin of a bird. And so we know it's already from the Mishnah, but what was this chiddush? Because even though the skin of a bird has got small holes in it where the feathers were, nevertheless, if you have the ink is very viscous, so when I write with the ink, it'll fill the hole, and there won't be a hole when I'm done writing, so it's still kosher for its fill-in. And then we're at a question from this Brysa, but that's basically what we learned. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
So we're not sure what the skin of a bird is? It's either or flesh?
No, the question is it halachically considered to be
right,
or?
Halachically.
Yes, so we said it's considered to be halakhically or, that's vadai, we know that from the Mishnah. And then Rav Huna taught me that I could also use it for tefillin. So the Gemara says, obviously, if it's or, I could use it for tefillin. Or, so the Gemara says, no, but it's a chiddush, even though it's or, but it has all those small holes in it. So I would have thought, I can't. Again, Rashi brings down the limud. Look in the first narrow line in Rashi, the last wide line, lo nechtov, derachman amar, uchtavtam, chtivatam, ashlema, lo mufsekin. It has to be a perfect writing. So if I'm writing and I have little holes in the ksav, so then that's not perfect writing. So with kamash malan, that even though it has the holes, but the ink is viscous, the ink will fill the hole, and I can still use the bird's skin for the ksiv for its fill-in. Okay.
And what did Abaye say at the end? That it's not an or?
So that was a different piece. Then at the end, the Gemara had a question about Bechtafav, there's a special brice that teaches me that I offer the or on the Mizbeach. So the question is, normally I don't offer or on the Mizbeach.
Right.
So there were two versions of this, but in the second version, Reb Zera says that that since it's or, therefore I need the special limud to offer on the Mizbeach. And normally I would think don't offer on the Mizbeach. So Reb Zera is saying that's a proof that it's considered to be or. And Abaye says, no, that's not a conclusive proof. It might not be or, but the Torah is telling me, right, since it has all these holes, it's like mice, it's like detestable for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so it's not or, but it's still detestable, so Kamash Malan that it's not. So that would be not a proof that way. Okay? All right, I'm going to go further. Okay, everybody else good? Okay, now let's take a look around the 20th line from the top. Okay, by me name Mar Bari Ravina Mir Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Mar, the son of Ravina, posed the following question to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Ma'uluk tov tefillin al gabi or shaldak tahor. What's the halacha? May I write tefillin on fish skin. So we're going through. This is obviously, these are cases you'll never find in life. Like, you know, nobody's writing tefillin on the birds and nobody's writing tefillin on the fish. But the Gemara has halacha. A question. Can I write tefillin on the skin of a fish? See, I tell you the truth, I'm wondering how physically it would be possible. Like, the skin of the fish doesn't seem to be so strong, how I would, you know, do the ksiva that way. So the Gemara says, Amar Leim Yavoli Ov Yomar. So he says, you know, so to help you out a little bit, Ruth, with the Yiddish. So then we'll be able to be Mavara this. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, Viomar? What does it mean, Eliyahu is going to show up? What is he going to say to us? If Eliyahu is supposed to show and tell us, do fish have or, they have skin, we see with our eyes that they do have or, says we don't need Eliyahu and Avi for that. But oh, in addition to this, we learn the Mishnah in Masechet Kelim. It says, "Atzamoto dag v'oro matzilin ba'olamet." The Mishnah says, "Mefurash." Now, things that are chotzeis befnei atuma, things that are not mekabel tuma, are chotzeis befnei atuma. So, remember, we had like the kli cheres. I have the olamet. I have a dead person in a house or in a tent. So, the tuma spreads well throughout the tent. If I have a kli cheres, the sealed kli cheres, that's chotzeis because the outside of the keli is not mekabel tuma. And so if it's sealed, so anything that's in the keli is not mekabel tuma, and neither and the cheres is not mekabel tuma. So here the Mishnah teaches me, if I have, let's say I have a bone, something made out of the fish bone, so that'll also be chotzeis b'fnei atuma, because fish bone is not mekabel tuma. And he says, v'oro, its hide blocks off b'fnei atuma. But I see that the Mishnah calls it or. In other words, that in the Tami has a kalot shem of or. So the Gemara says, Ela im yavolio v'yomar, I paska zuma minei, I lo paska zuma minei. So there's two ways to go with this. Zuma can mean like the filth, the stench, or it can mean like a spiritual pollution. So Eliyahu is going to come, either A, the first version, to teach me whether the stench has, you know, in other words, not so, in other words, it doesn't stink enough to postulate as ore. In other words, the smell is not so great that we can still use it as ore, which seems a little strange because we would, Lakora, know how much it stinks anyway, but maybe whether that level of stink is adequate. Or the other part is that it's a spiritual pollution. So I don't know why the dagim have more spiritual pollution than animals or other things. The only thing I could think of is dagim don't have shechita. So the other animals have shechita. So the only thing is, though, that for the or, you could use even an animal that didn't have shechita, as long as it was a kosher animal. So I'm not sure why there would be more spiritual pollution with fish. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. All right, so we're five lines above where it gets wide on Kuf Chet Amun Aleph. 108A, five lines above where it gets wide. Everybody with me? Okay, so the Gemara says, Shmuel v'karna havu yatfei aguda d'nahar malka. This is a famous Gemara. It's nice to remember this. This is one of these stories that, you know, you can, and it's referred to elsewhere in Shas. So he says, Shmuel and Karna were sitting by the bank of Nahar Malka. Nahar Malka means like the king's river. So he quoted on the side of the article, it means like the Euphrates is like called the king of the rivers. So he says here, I think they quoted from the Ben Yehoyada who says that. Let me just take a look. Who did he quote from? One minute. Yeah. 26. Yeah, the Ben Yehoyada says that. So he says, Chazinu l'maya, the kadalu v'achire. They saw the money, the water was like rising very high, v'achire, that it was turbid. It means it was like somewhat dirty, like not so clear. So he says here, Amalei Shmuel l'karna. So Shmuel said to Karna, Gavarabu ka'ati mimarabu. I could see from this that a great person is coming. And it was normally the water didn't rise like this. It didn't form like big waves. And again, it's a river. It's not seawater. It's like fresh water. So he says, so I could see from the way the water is, you know, flowing, that there's a great person coming from the west, from Eretz Yisrael. He's got stomach problems. So the way Rashi takes it, he's like, got to go to the bathroom on the boat. And the water comes up high, either when he's relieving himself. So he's like, say he's, you know, like secluded, protected, or what was the other pshat that Rashi had? He says, or else, let me leave it the other pshat. Okay, now let's go further. Now he says, and the water is rising like so to greet him. That's what he says. Ziltai le'akankane. Go, like sniff around his keg. It means it's a term of art, like tai become let's be toa become kano. It means it's borrowed from wine. You sniff wine, see what the quality of the wine is, but go test him and see how great is his learning. In other words, he's a new quantity. Let's see how great is his learning. Now, Tosfos has different. Second Tosfos has a different gears in this Gemara. You know what? Let me get the whole sugya and then we'll go back. So he says. So back in the Gemara, the last narrow line, Azal Ashkei L'Rav. So he, Karna goes, he encounters Rav. Rav was the person coming from Eretz Yisrael. He says, Amar Lei Minayin Shein Kotev Tefillin L'Gabi Or Behema Tahora. So he says to him, and this is the point of connection with our sugya, he says, how is it that we know that Tefillin can only be written on the hide of a kosher animal? How do I know that? So Amar Lei Dechtiv L'Mantia Teret Hashem B'Ficha, he says that you'll write Tefillin. So we say this every morning, people put on tefillin, so the word of God will be beficha, in your mouth. So you can mean metaphorically, the pshuto shemekra, like you'll like Torah will be, you know, familiar, like you'll be constantly engrossed in Torah, but the Gemara darshan zatmana mutar beficha. In other words, the tefillin must be made from that which a person could eat, could stick in his mouth. So it has to be from a kosher animal. Okay, that was question number one. Then question number two, minayin ladam shu adam, where do we know the blood is red? Obviously, everybody knows blood is red, but it means, like, if a woman is a nida, so the blood is a siman of her tuma, so the blood has to be a red color. Where do we know that it's, if it's a different color, that then, you know, I mean, we had different colors with blood, but blood basically has to be red, is what it's saying. So the Gemara says, that Moab, this is one of the wars, so Moab saw the water that was red like dam. Like red, like dumb. So the Gemara takes it from that pasuk that that blood is red. Blood is red. All right, one second. All right. All right, let me sit back in the Gemara. He says, Minayin l'mila shabo tomakom. Where do we know mila? Mila is like the foreskin. How do we know that the foreskin is where we all know it's located on the male member? He says, Shenemar kan orlato. So it says, you know, Bayom ha-shmini yimol besor orlato. On the eighth day, he will circumcise the flesh of orlato, his orla, his foreskin. Venemar lahalan orlato. It says by the din of orla, but with trees, and those trees have a din in orla. I can't have the fruit of the trees for 3 years. So it says mentions orla to there. It says malahalan devar she'osa pri. Just like with the trees, it's referring to something that produces fruit. In other words, that he says afkan devar she'osa pri. So too here, it's talking about the part of the human body that gives forth fertility. You know, gives forth you know the next generation. He says. So what the Gemara says, "Ein Maliba, why can't I argue that the orla means your heart? That would be a very bloody bris. But maybe orla means the heart." He says, "Dechtiv u'maltem en orlat levavchem." Or one could say, in the pasuk, it just means metaphorically that you should circumcise the orla of your heart. And so, why can it not be that the meaning of the pasuk? So we'll say not literally, but we'll say that maybe the pasuk just means, I don't know what you would do on the eighth day with a child, but it means that it's referring to the heart and you circumcise the heart. So he says, Ema oznam, maybe it means the ear. He says, Dechtiv, hine orla oznam. He says that their ears are orla. Orla means like closed off. In other words, they don't hear anything. So maybe it means you do a bris on the ear. So how did you conclude so quickly? You have a number of candidates. So candidate number one means the male member. Candidate number two means the heart. Candidate number three, it's the ear. So they're all called orla in Tanakh. So the Gemara says, Danin orla to tama mi orla to tama. So the word we're looking for is orla to. Here the Gemara isn't saying just that the word is the same, orla to, which it is, but orla to means I know with specificity what it's talking about from the word. His orla, in other words, and the tree's orla. He says, the other, I need another word to understand, because it says, the other one says, orlat levavchem. It says, and the other one says, Arela oznam. So it considers orlato to be a complete word, and the other words not complete. Because orlato, I have everything. His orla, its orla. All right, so the Gemara says, Vein danin orlato, tama me orlato shena tama. So anyway, so So again, so Karna comes, he poses these questions to Rav, he has three questions, and Rav, he gets the answer to all three questions. So he's, so Amar Le Mashmech. So Rav says to him, what's your name? What do they call you? So he says, Karna, my name is Karna. Amar Le, hey Rav, it's typically Karna Be'enei. And it was, Rav was not pleased with this far hair, and he says, let a Karna, like a horn, come out of his eye, meaning Karna's eye. So the way Rashi takes it is that, or one of the Mefarshim takes it, is like some sort of cataract or something like that grew in Karna's eye. Okay, the Sof Aile Shmuel Beitei. And then Rashi brings down, by the way, that he wanted to have, or we'll see in a minute in Tosos, the Sof Aile Shmuel Beitei. So Shmuel, I guess he gets the good report from Karna, and then Shmuel, who's the Gadol Ador, and Rav's also a Gadol Ador, but Shmuel apparently, I don't know if he knew him before, but he invites him to his house. He says, Ochle Nama Desare, he gave him barley bread to eat. He says, V'kasa Daharsana, he gave him this kasa Daharsana, it's like a fried fish dish. V'ashke Shikra, he gave him beer. So Rashi takes it that all these foods, like make a person's bowels loose. He says, Velo achvi le bedakisa, and he didn't show him where the bathroom was. So not a good situation to be in. So he says, Ki hechi lishtalshel. So he wanted him actually to be this way. Rashi says he wanted, apparently Shmuel's intent was to help cure him of his malady, that he saw the waters, I mean, the way Rashi's malach is, he saw the waters were going so high, and it was, he knew that Rav had this problem with Shilshul, and he's going to give this, so somehow he's going to hold it in, and this somehow will help him. So Layit Rav, Amar, Manda Mitzara, on the Lukmi Leibane, V'chein Hava. So Rav was unhappy with this. Rav cursed him, and he says, the one who gave me all the tzoras should not have sons, and that was the way it was. Shmuel never had sons. Yeah, this Gemara needs more Ion and Hesber, but let me just do Tosos on this. Okay, the second Tosos. So if you look in the second Tosos, Rabbeinu Chanan Lagaris, the Kedalu Maya Laakbuliape. So Rabbeinu Chananel doesn't have the gear set that the water rose like to greet Rav. Rabbeinu Chananel doesn't have that gear set. In our Gemara, we had it, and Rashi says it meant that the water was to help him like to go to the bathroom, you know, to protect his sneus. Then Rashi has another shot that the water was like to help him clean up. But anyway, so we're on the second Tosos on Kuf Chet Amud Aleph, Michael. So he says, and actually it's in your department, Michael. So he says here, Elahachi Garis, Chazinu Shmuel Amaya de Kadalu Ba'achirei, that Shmuel said the water was rising up and was like turbid. Amar Shmuel Gavar Rabakaati Vachash Meye Perush Shamash Shmuel Shmuash Adam Gadol Yababasvina, means Shmuel had already previously heard that a great person was coming by boat. Biyadash Shmuel Shiyishtemin Anahar Oto Adam Gadol. He knew that the person who was on the boat is going to drink from the water in the river. I guess it's the way maybe that they did it. Mitokach Yachush Meyav, and as a result of that, he will suffer a sort of, you know, loose bowels. He says, the waters were achurim, were dirty, because like of all the wind had blown up, like the water was said being clear, it was like dirty from presumably from the seabed. So he says here, ulafi sheshmuel yarofei mumcha, and since Shmuel was an expert doctor, amalei lekarna, zil tai bebekankane, go sniff out his keg. He says, perish tireh im hu chacham, ru'i lechabdo, find out if this person is such a chacham, and I should be mechabed him. So I'll bring him to my house and I'll cure him. But Rav wasn't too happy with the cure. You saw what he did. Let me see what he says here. Give me one second. Yeah, he says here in the art scroll in footnote 48, he says, Rav issued this curse. He did not know the treatment was intended as a cure. Well, he found out Shmuel sought to cure him, and his curse was nevertheless fulfilled. He accorded Shmuel the respect. Yeah, the Gemara says, although Rav was in fact greater, like the Gemara has it in Masechet Megillah that Rav deferred to Shmuel as a type of penance from pronouncing this curse against him. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did?
How do these questions by Karna prove what Shmuel wanted to know?
Shmuel wanted to know if he was a big Talmud Chacham.
Yeah, these simple questions.
Well, I don't know. When you know the answers, they're simple. When you don't know the answers, they're not so simple. So he asked him. Well, I don't know. He asked him about the orla. Well, he asked them about the kosher animal by the tefillin, and then he asked them about the color of dam. And you know, if you didn't know that pasuk, I don't know if you know it. And then he asked them about how do you know the orla is where we think the orla is. And so, I mean, if you didn't know that, I don't know if you would know it, right? That's the best I have with that. Okay, you know, but if you look at the mafarsha, maybe we'll come up with something. You know, I told you there was a story. This I heard from Rav Abba Braunschweig, who's one of my rebbeim. And he should have a refuah shleima quickly. He was talking about Rav Aaron Cutler. When Rav Aaron Cutler, he was a Rosh Yeshiva from Europe. He was really the only Rosh Yeshiva from Europe that was able to reestablish his yeshiva here in America. So he escaped through the war, and he got across the Trans-Siberian Railroad with the Mir Yeshiva, and he eventually came to America. I think he arrived in San Francisco Harbor, I think in 1941. Anyway, so he was trying to raise money to establish this yeshiva, you know, which he eventually did in Lakewood. And when he established yeshiva, they say he established it with 14 Talmidim initially. So he would go around to different communities. And in those days, he would, like, sometimes they'd have a big Talmud Chacham would be in this, like, Verworfen shtetl. You know, it was like you'd go, you know, to Oshkosh, and the rabbi of the shul would be a big Talmud Chacham. So he came to one community, and he asked the Rav if he could stay with him, I think, for Shabbos. And the Rav said to him, you could stay if you answer these questions. He had five questions to ask him. And of the questions, he said that one question he was able to answer quickly. One question was difficult. And then the next question, I think, was like a lot of difficulty he was able to answer it. And I think the last two or something he wasn't able to answer. But it just shows you, like you said, that the answer is so simple. You know, when you know the answer, it's simple. You know, but that's the way that went. It's an interesting, you know, at a certain point in time, there was a certain tipus, like when there were like Talmidei Chachamim from Europe who, you know, before World War II, who, you know, like Parnassa in Europe was very difficult, and they would go to all these little, you know, kleine shtetlach to get a job because that's what they need to make money, and they were big Talmidei Chachamim, but that's where they ended up. You know, a little bit is like that was if you remember Dr. Sam Mubses, his father was a big Talmud Chacham from Lithuania, but he took a job in a small town in South Africa because that's where you needed to get a job to do it, and then Baruch Hashem that saved his life probably. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, let's keep moving now. Let's take a look. Okay, we're five lines above where it gets wide on Kuf Cherman Aleph. Okay, now we were talking about how do we know that the Mila is where it is. How do we know the Mila is on the male member? We said we had a number of candidates for the Bris Mila, i.e. the heart and the ear. So Kintanai, the Gemara says that the Lima, that the Mila is there, is actually Machloka Tanaim. It says, "Minayin lamila shabotom akom nemar kan orlato v'nemar lahalan orlato." So it mentions orlato by Yomashvini Yimol Basor orlato. Mentions orlato by the tree. He says, "Malahalan davar she'ose pri." Just like by the tree, it's something that produces fruit, and that's what's talking about orla, you know, producing the fruit. He says, "Avkan davar she'ose pri divrei Rabbi Yoshia." So Yoshia says, so too the orla is on a place where a person is able to procreate from. Rabbi Natan Omer Eino Tzarich. Rabbi Natan says, I don't need that limud. He says, Harehu Omer, Be'arel Zachar Shalimo B'sor Lato. He says, this pasuk is in Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha is where the mitzvah of Bris Mila is given initially. So it says, Be'arel Zachar Shalimo B'sor Lato, that if like an uncircumcised male doesn't circumcise or lato. Now we know from previous pasuk we're talking about males. So then it repeats it again. Ba'arel zachar. He says makom shnikar ben zachrut l'nekevut. In other words, since it says arel zachar, the male arel. So it's clear that the item is something that's present in the male anatomy, not the female anatomy. Okay. Now last medium wide line. So Tan Rabbanan. We write tefillin on top of like kosher animal hide. He says v'al gabi or chayat Torah. It could be on a wild animal. It could be like on a deer hide also, would be good for the algabe or nevelo trefo chalahen. We could also write on a nevelo trefo. So if the animal was not shechted properly or not shechted at all, it just died, I can use the hide and for, you know, tefillin and for Sifrei Torah and trefo. Let's say I shecht the animal, it's a trefo animal, I can still use the hide. So he says, v'nechrachot b'saran, the parshiot are wrapped with the hair of that animal. So if I have, you know, cow, so I'm using cow hair, right? Deer, I'm using deer hair. He says, v'nitparot b'gidan, and then it's sewed up with the gidan. The gidan are the sinews, you know, there's like stitching that the sofrim use, let's say for the batim, and also for it to sew the different, you know, yiriot of a sefer Torah, they use the gidan from the animal. He says, v'halach l'moshem Sinai, shefillin nechrachot b'saran v'nitparot b'gidan. And it's halach l'moshem Sinai, those last two halachot, the first two halachot we were able to learn from the pasuk. Aval ain kofin, and the article mentioned that aval ain kofin lo gabi or behema tamea, aval lo gabi or chaya tamea. We don't write on the skin or the hide of a non-kosher animal. I can take a pig and write on that. Lo gabi or chaya tamea. I can write on the on a non-kosher chaya. You know, I don't know, maybe like a tiger. I can't write on his hide. He says ve'ino tzrich lamar a gabi or nevelo trefo shalen. Certainly the nevelo trefo of the non-kosher animals I can't write on. He says ve'ino chrachin b'saran. Then tefillin can't be wrapped in the hair from the non-kosher animals, and it can't be sewed with their gidim. He says, "V'zusha elishal baitusi echad or Yeshua Hagarsi." This question was asked from one baitusi. We know that Tzadok and Baitos were talmidim of Antignos Yisochom, so the Tzadukim and the Baitusim were all kofar in the Torah Shabbal Peh, and the different, you know, like in the Gemara in particular, it mentions with the I think in Menachot, with the calculation for when Shavuos is. So the Baitusim had their own calculation that Shavuos is always on a Sunday, right? Mimacharat Shabbat. So anyway, so they come up. So he says, so he's a Baitusi. He asks Rabbi Shuva Garsi, Menayin Shein Kofin Tefillin al Or Behemet Tameya. He says, how do I know that from the Torah that I can't write tefillin on the hide of an animal is not kosher? So Rabbi Shuas answers him. It says Lamantia Torah Hashem Beficha. We discussed this earlier. So the Torah should be in your mouth. So it implies it's something that you could eat. So if that's the case, so then I should not be able to write tefillin on a treif or a nevela, because a treif and nevela I can't eat. So even if it's from a kosher animal, I should not be, if that's the line of logic. So Amar Leis, Rabbi Shu said, I'll give you a parable like to demonstrate the halacha. Like two people who were condemned to die by the government. Two people are going to be executed, two humans. One was executed personally by the king, and one was executed by his chief executioner. He says, Ezame and Meshubach, which is the more praiseworthy of those two? Heviomer Zeshawragomelech, the one that was killed by the king. So here too with the animals, that some animals are shechted by the humans. We're just the servants of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the animal that's a nevela, that's killed by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So certainly, that's the example that he gave. Now, he says here, Elamiata Yechlu. So he says, if that's the case, so he should be able to eat it. So it's so wonderful. So it's killed by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he should be able to eat the nevela. So Amar Leah, Torah Amra, lo tuchlu kol nevela, but Amar Yechlu. He says, the Torah says explicitly I can't eat it. Right, logic would say I should eat it, but Torah says don't eat it. He says, Amar Leah, Kalos, he said, Taka, you really explained it very nicely. It's, you know, that's the best when you're adversary admits that you explained it well. Now, the only thing that's difficult is that he doesn't address the issue of the treif animals. The nevela animal he addresses, treif animals he doesn't address. So Tosfos alludes to the answer, and second last Tosfos, he says that Beficha teaches me that I see from the nevela that Beficha is teaching me not that I have to be able to eat it, but it should be the species that I can eat. So if that's the case, so trefa also is from the species that I can eat. That animal I can't, but otherwise I could. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, so I'm going to move on then. Right. So we're on the bottom line on Kuf Chet Amud Aleph, 108 A, the bottom line. Okay. So Manitin. Now, the next Mishnah, it's hard to, again, at least sometimes you need a lot of Mefarshim because the Mishnah don't explain it explicitly. What's, the Mishnah is going to say there's a prohibition against making like a salt solution on Shabbos. So the Mefarshim have different ways. Like one derech is to say that we were talking about seida, capturing an animal. So a sort of related malacha is ibud. I can't tan the animal. So here the salty water would be used to pickle food, and that would be similar to ibud. There's ein ibud ba'ochlin. It's not the av malacha, but it's similar to it and prohibited on a rabbanon level. That's one way to explain it. Or it's similar to bishul. You know, or it looks like hachana, like when you pickle something. But either way, I'm not allowed to make this salt concoction called a hilmi on Shabbat. So let's take a look. So manitin in osin hilmi b'Shabbat. I can't make this hilmi is a large salt. I have a lot of water, a lot of salt. Turn page, the top line on Kuf Chenud Beis. He says, aval osehu et mei melach, but I could be mei melach. So we don't know what this means, but it means that I could make a small amount of water with salt. So a lot of water with salt I can't do, but on a small level I could. But tovel ben pito, and then I could dip my bread in it because I like to have bread with salt water. And I can add it just as a condiment to my food to help improve it. I'm Rabbi Yossi, velohu hilmi bein ruva bein ruva. So Rabbi Yossi says, look, it's the same hilmi whether I have a lot or a little. How can one be prohibited, one be permissible? So the question the Gemara is going to have is Rabbi Yossi coming to asur everything or to be matir everything? So the Gemara is going to conclude, Rabbi Yossi says that everything is asur. He says, ve'elu hein mei melech hamutarin, but what is the way to go about doing this if you want to have like the salt water on Shabbat? According to Rabbi Yossi, notain shemen lechakila tochamayim or letochamelech. If I add the oil first to the salt or the oil first to the water and then add the salt, so the oil somehow deflects or weakens the salt's impact, and then that would be a way to have some sort of concoction with salt on Shabbos, according to the Tana Rabbi Yossi. All right, let me do a few lines and I'll pause. So the Gemara says, "Mai ka'amar." First, we don't even understand what the words, I explained the Gemara based on the Maskana, but when the Gemara said you can't make a hilmi, but you could make mei melech, what is he talking about? Mai ka'amar, am rav yudamar shmul, haki kamar, en osi mei melech merubin. I can't make a lot of salt water. He says, aval osu mei melech muatan. I could make a little bit. I don't know how much is a lot and how much is a little, though. I'm a Rabbi Yossi, and I'll pause another eight lines. I'm a Rabbi Yossi, valohu hilmi bein rubin bein muatin. So Rabbi Yossi says, look, the same hilmi, you know, like whether it's a lot or a little, it's still hilmi. So what difference? How can you say, can't make hilmi, you can make a lot, can't make a lot, can make a little? So ibailu Rabbi Yossi le'esur lahatir. So is Rabbi Yossi coming to say everything should be prohibited, which is one way we could do it, or is Rabbi Yossi say everything is permissible? So the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Yehuda lahatir." So Rabbi Yehuda says Rabbi Yossi is coming to say everything is permissible. Milokatani Rabbi Yossi oser. Since it doesn't say Rabbi Yossi oser, I'm going to assume that he says everything is mutar. Amarli Rabba. Rabba says to him, "Hamita katani seifa ve'elohin mimelacha mutarin." The last line, the two lines of the Mishnah say this is the way you could do it in a permissible fashion. So since those two lines are complementing or adding on to Rabbi Yossi, he says this is the way to make it permissible. So obviously I could deduce that Rabbi Yossi says to aser it. He says, El amar rabba le'asor. Rabbi says, no, Rabbi Yossi is coming to aser everything. Similarly, Rabbi Yochanan also says that Rabbi Yossi is coming to aser everything. Tani nami hachi, I learned a brisa that supports the hesber that's given by Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yochanan is in Eretz Yisrael and Rabbi is in Babel. He says, the brisa says, Ein osin mei melech merubin latei l'toch hakivashin shebetoch gistra. I can't make a lot of salt water to put betoch hakivashin, like the vegetables that I want to pickle, that are in a gistra. Gistra is the broken shard. So I have a broken piece of pottery and I want to, you know, mix the vegetables with this sort of brine. Aval osehu mei melech muatin, but I can make a little bit of salt water. This is the Tanakam in our Mishnah. But ochel behen pito, I can eat my bread and dip it in there. V'notein l'tocha tavshil, I can add the water to my food to make it more tasty. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Here's the key part. I'm Rabbi Yossi. V'chivim nein shalalu merubim v'alu muatin, because one is large, one is less. Halalu asurin v'alu mutarin. So large is prohibited and small is permissible. So yomru melacha meruba asurim melacha muatin muterin. So people extrapolate from there. If I do a lot of writing, that's prohibited. A little bit of writing is permissible. So he says, elo elu elu asurin. So Rabbi says they're all prohibited across the board. What is mei melech hamutarin? How do I prepare this in a permissible fashion? I add the oil and then I add the salt. O shemen umayim, where I add the shemen to the oil to the water, and then I add the salt. As long as I don't add the water and the salt together, I'm still okay. As long as I have the oil, will blunt the impact of the salt and will, you know, change it from being a hilmi to a non-hilmi solution. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts, anything we did so far? Yeah, what's up, Malka? Let me hear you. Well, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Malka, you're not coming out clearly. It sounds very soft. It's hard to hear you, but speak. I'll do my best.
Right, hold on. Let me see what I can do.
Okay, it's a little bit better now. Go.
Okay, so for Pesach, we had to put oil in our salt water?
No. First of all, the salt water you should really prepare before Yontif. That's the first you saw.
No, but I think it was the second day.
So even with the second day, it talks about which by Shabbos, right? That you shouldn't create the salt water on Shabbos. It involves in Pesach, I have to review the halacha about that. But I think that you should prepare it before Shabbos and before Yontif, I think, with the salt water. But but there is a way to prepare it, I think, on before Shabbos. I need to review that halacha. Blina, I'll get back to you with that, okay? But that halacha is working. I don't think that's working with this Hilmi halacha. I think that's a different halacha that we're concerned about right there with the salt water. Okay, what else?
It's the same thing. It's not brine. I mean, brine is used.
Blina, I'll review it and get back to you tomorrow, okay? Now, what's up?
What temperature does the water have to be?
For what?
To make the salt water.
You mean for Pesach, or what are you talking about? For what? For
get Pesach.
With the Hilmi? I don't think there is a temperature. In other words,
no, for the salt water. In other words, can I use hot water and oil and salt? That's not Bishul?
No. In other words, you mean you might be cooking the salt? That's a different question. Yeah. So I don't know if there's but Bishul will begin when it gets to be Yad Soledebo. Then I get into a question of Bishul. I don't think he's talking about heating up the water on Shabbos. I think he's just talking about mixing the salt with the water.
Let's say I have hot water. Let's say my water is heated
and you want to combine it with the salt. Okay, let me look into it.
Say salt is already cooked and it doesn't cook
it? I need to look into all these things. Okay, Blin Eder, I'll take a look at all these things. I don't want to say halakha.
I think that's Sephardic. Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul is a Sephardic concept.
No. Everybody holds Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul. But with the salt,
no, but I'm talking about spices.
Okay, all right, let me look into it. Let me look into it, Blin Eder, and get back to you all tomorrow, Blin Eder. Okay, that's where we're going with that. Any other questions? Okay, so I have to look at Pesach and the Bishul. What's up, Ruth? What do you got for me?
What about if you're using it medicinally, why would you want to add the oil to such a mixture? Would it be necessary medicinally?
So it's not, again, you're not supposed to make, a medicinal concoction on Shabbos, though we'll have a little bit more on the Gemara later on. We'll have a little bit more on the Gemara on that later on. All right, let's see further. And you're not allowed to normally use medicine on Shabbos unless you're a cholish aimbo sakana. But if it's a cholish mechush ba'alma, you're not allowed to take medicine. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, we're on the 10th line down in the Gemara on Kufchanam Beis in the parentheses. Azin stone ve'etrog siman. So these are simanim for three brises that we're going to learn about. So the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva taught the following brisa. In osin me melech azin. I can't make very strong salt water on Shabbat. So we're going like the Tanakama. Tanakama says that I could make a little bit of salt water because I want to eat the food and things like that, but I can't make it too strong, too powerful. So that's the brisis. The Gemara says, my melech azin, what does it mean strong? What's strong? So Rabbi Yosef bar Abba, Amri Tarvayu, Kosha Beit Tzafa Bahen. Is anything that the egg would float on it, that's definitely salty. So if the egg would float on the water, that's too salty a thing to make. So Vakama, so he says, what exactly is the proportion? So Amar Abaye, Trei Tilte Milcha B'Tilte Maya. If it's two parts salt, one part water, that's too salty a solution to make on Shabbat. That's what he says. Okay, now Lamai Avdila, why would you make such a salty solution? So Amar Abaye L'Moraisa. So I would make a Moraisa for brine. I want to stick the fish in the brine. I personally wouldn't want fish in such a salty concoction, but that's the way that we do it. Okay, now the second Braisa. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva, Ein molchin snon ubeitza b'Shabbat, that I can't salt a cucumber and an egg on Shabbat. So Rav Chiski Mishmei Dabai Amar, it's known asur beitza muteret. So Rav Chiski is the name of Abaye, that a cucumber I can salt, but not the beitza. So the idea here is that, let me see, he says that I'm making it too hard, I think. Let me see what's going on with this.
I think it's known as a radish.
Radish, okay. Yeah, you're right, radish. So I was thinking, okay, so he says here, right. So he says, Rashi brings down that you can't salt three or four pieces together because the salt improves them by making them hard. And that's similar to ibud, similar to tanning. It makes it hard. It's like tanning, the processing. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, stone asur. So Abaye says, the stone is asur, the base is muteret. The only thing that's bothered was how is Abaye cholek with a brisa? But Abaye says that the radish is prohibited, but the base is permissible. So Am Rav Nachman, Mireish Hava Malach Dan Pugla. So Rav Nachman says, initially, I did salt radishes on Shabbat. On Shabbat, Amina Afsudi Kamaf Sadinale. I'm like destroying it. I'm not making any improvement on it, so I'm allowed to do that. Damar Shmuel Pugla Churfe Male. Shmuel says, if it's a sharp radish, apparently salting blunts its taste, so the sharp radish is good. Came to Shemana Lahad the Chiyata Ula. Once I heard that when Ula came, Ba'amar B'marav Malchi Kishrei Kishrei, that in the West, in Eretz Israel, they salt with heaps on these radishes. It means on during the week that they would be salting it that way. So mimlach lo malachna tibuli bali matbilna. So I don't salt it on Shabbat anymore. In some way, the salting is like either ibud or malacha that's improving it. So he said, I thought I'm not improving it. I'm thought I'm okay with it, but I learned in Eretz Yisrael that that's the way they put a ton of salt on their radishes. So I see I would be improving it if I put the salt on the radish. Okay, let me last.
Salting draws water from it.
What, say again, what? Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva, and then Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva taught a third brisa, Esrog Sinona Beitza. When it comes to an etrog, it's known, we said, a radish, and an egg, Ilmalei Klipa Tana Chitzona, were not for their outside klipa, Inan Yotzim B'nei Me'ayim Le'olam. It wouldn't, like, leave the stomach, I don't know, it causes constipation, something like that. So, here Rashi points out, with the etrog in the stone, it means presumably the peel. In other words, the peel of the radish, the peel of the etrog. When it comes to the egg, it doesn't mean the hard shell, it means the white of the egg. That's the way Rashi takes it down. So he says, Ki atar of Dimi Amar, me olam lo tabagavra biyama de stone. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel, he said, nobody ever sank or drowned in the Sea of Sodom. It means the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, we know, has a lot of salt in it. Nobody ever drown in the Dead Sea because it's so much buoyancy when you're there. So he says, and many years ago, I swam on the Dead Sea and I was like floating off. So he says, I mentioned this to you already once. I was with a friend of mine. We were about 18 and we were just like lying on our backs and it didn't feel like we were moving anywhere. And then without our realizing it, we were drifting, you know, steadily away from the shore and heading not in a good direction. Like, you know, Jordan is on the other side. And this is before they had all the peace treaties with Jordan. When I heard my friend screaming, so I turned with a lot of effort. I was able to get back. And there was a lifeguard, fortunately, at the place. And he took a boat out and he got my friend who was with me. And he took him back. But that was just another time. Okay, so he says... So Amar of Yosef, hafucha stone, hafucha mila. He says, stone is hafucha, means it says by the stone is destroyed. It says, vayafochet harimaela, like he flipped them over. It means they get destroyed. Like it's a little bit like, v'od shloshim yom v'ninbe ne'apachet. In 30 days, ninbe is going to be ne'apachet. Ne'apachet can mean like to be totally overturned or they overturned with tshuva. I had one of my, there was a rabbi in Austria a zillion years ago. He said that Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, Amar of Yosef, hafucha stom, hafucha mila. He says, gavra hud lo tava. The implication of your words is that a person wouldn't drown, shura tava, but that a beam would sink in there. He says, Amar le Abaye. So Abaye says, lom Abaye kamar. No, he means it goes without saying. Lom Abaye kshura, dafil b'chol me mot shabo lom lo tava. The log or the beam doesn't sink in regular water. It's certainly not going to sink in the Yam HaMelech, in the Dead Sea. But even a person that, you know, could be susceptible to sinking in other waters, the Yam of the Stone, Lotaba. So the Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina." So why? What's the nafkamina from hearing this whole statement? We said that when Rav Dimi came, he mentioned this thing that a person doesn't sink in the Yam HaMelech, but the Chachamim are not coming to tell us like interesting stories. They come and teach me halachot. So what's the implication? What's the halachic implication from the fact that a person would not sink in the Yam HaMelech? It means that it's very salty water. So. So the Gemara says we'll be able to extrapolate what that is from the following statement. He says it were from the following incident. Ki had the Ravin have a shakib azil according to Rabbi Yirmiyah a good of the Yam of the Stone. That Ravin was walking behind Rabbi Yirmiyah by the banks of the Yam of the Stone, the Yam of Melach. Amar le ma'ul mimshe mehani ma'ib Shabbat. Are you allowed to wash yourself with these waters on Shabbat? So Rashi points out washing means the even though I would not want that, it's very salty, it stings the eyes. Somehow they were using it as refuah for the eyes. So could I wash my eyes? Can I put the water on my eyes on Shabbat? We know that there's a prohibition from, you know, taking refuah on Shabbat. So could I do this on Shabbat? So Amar Lei Shapir Dami. He says, fine. In other words, if I just like take the water, close my eyes, and I just like wash it over, fine. He says, Mahu Lamei Matzu Lemiftach. What about like to squeeze my eyes closed and then open, like sort of like blinking with this water. Like it's more clear when I'm blinking that I want the water to go in the eyes. So he says, Amar Lei, Zulo Shamati Kiyotzi Bashamati. This, I don't know the answer, but I know something similar in which you'll be able to extrapolate the answer out. So the Amar Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira says, Zimna Amar Lei Mishmei de Rabmatna. Sometimes he says it's in Rabmatna, but Zimna Amar Lei Mishmei de Mar Ukva. Sometimes he says the name, the same Allah name Mar Ukva, but Tarbayu Mishmei de Avud de Shmuel Belevi, Amrin. Both statements were quoting statements of Shmuel and Levi. In other words, there's going to be two statements. One is by Shmuel, one is by Levi, and we don't know which is by which, but those are the two statements that were recorded. Chadamar, Yayin Betocha Ayin Asur, he says that to put the wine, you know, I didn't say before, with the water, right, this is right. No, I'm saying right. To put the wine in the eye is prohibited. That's like a type of refuah, they put the wine in the eye. Al Gavha Ayin Mutar, but to put it on top of the eye, you know, and then what happens, happens, that's permissible on Shabbat. B'chad Amar, one said, Rok Tafel, Afilo Gava Ayin Asur, that when it comes to the, like the fresh saliva in the morning, before you eat anything, the saliva they felt had some medicinal help, to put it on top of the eye is prohibited. So the point that he's trying to deduce from this is that when it comes to the wine, I could, Batoka ayin is prohibited. So like with the blinking is prohibited. Like that's like more explicit that I'm like, it's, in other words, if it's something that's more obvious to the onlooker that I'm using this solution for refuah purposes, it's prohibited. If I'm doing something that like plausibly could just be an innocuous action, so then that's permissible. That's the idea in the Gemara. So if I'm just putting the, so the way the Gemara has it, if I'm putting the like the wine in the eye, whatever, it's like clear, I'm putting it in the eye, that's no good. But I'm just like washing over my face, that's okay. So he says, Tistaim Davud Shmuel Hu Damar Yayim B'tocha Ayin Asur. And the connection with Yam HaMelech is that the Yam HaMelech, everybody knows it's very salty water. So everybody knows that if I'm splashing my eyes and like blinking with it, that it's a medicinal usage I'm making of the water. So when he said that nobody ever sank in the Yam HaMelech, he says everybody knows the Yam HaMelech has a lot of salt content. So if I'm like blinking with this and the water is going in my eyes, everybody knows I'm doing refuah on Shabbat with the salt there. If it's innocuous, just like washing my face, you know, then that's okay. So let me see back in the Gemara. I'll pause in a minute. He says, so again, so one statement was from Shmuel, one statement was from Levi. So the Gemara says, "Sistaim Davud." One statement was from not Shmuel. One statement was from Avud Shmuel, from Shmuel's father. So the Gemara says, "Sistaim Davud Shmuel Hudamar Yayin Betocha Ayin Asur Agava Ayin Mutar." It must be that Shmuel's father is the one who said that wine in the eye is prohibited on Shabbat, but on top of the eye is permissible. Mi da Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel, his son, made the following statement: "Shredam Pito B'Yayin." Person could dip his bread in wine on Shabbat, but no al gav ha'ayin b'Shabbat, and put the wine on top of the eye on Shabbat. And so that's just like the other statement. So we think that Shmuel, so the Gemara says, d'shmiel le'miman, who did Shmuel hear that from? So lav d'shmiel le'miavua. So logically, he heard it from his father. And we know one of the statements was said by Shmuel's father, one statement was made by Levi, one statement has to do with wine, one statement has to do with saliva. So Shmuel makes the similar statement as his father. So we assume that Shmuel heard that from his father. So the Gemara says, but according to that line of reasoning, Hadamar Shmuel, Shmuel also said, Rok tefel afilu gaba ayin asur. Shmuel said that the fresh saliva, even al gabe ha'ayin is asur, even if I just like wipe it on top of my eyes, prohibited. In other words, the saliva, I guess, is like, you know, much clearer that I'm using it for medicinal purposes. So even al gaban is asur. So that's so d'shmilei mi miman. Who did he hear that from? Ilema d'shmilei mi avu. If we said Shmuel heard from his father, el Levi below chara amar. Then it's come out Levi didn't make any of the statement. Again, we had two statements. One statement had to do with the wine. One statement had to do with the saliva. So we identified the statement with the wine as Shmuel. Shmuel quoting his father. But then Shmuel also makes a statement about the saliva. So if that's the case, if that's also, you know, if like his father, then we're running into problems. Then Levi's not saying anything. Ela chara shmilei mi avu, but chara shmilei mi Levi. Lo yidinim he mi avu, but he mi Levi. So the Gemara says one statement he heard from his father, one statement he heard from Levi. We don't know which statement he heard from which. So we know that one statement was said by the father of Shmuel, one statement was said by Levi. All right, questions for 2 minutes. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts, anything we did? All right, moving on. Now, Amar Ukva Amar Shmuel, Shredam Kilurin Meir Shabbat. A person can soak, Kilurin is a collyrium. It's like a paste that a person would put in his eyes. Like sometimes in Sfarim, they'll say, it's Kilurin La'inayim. It's like a salve to the eyes. It's like such a wonderful safer. So he says, Shredam Kilurin Meir Shabbat. A person, like you have this paste and you add the water to it on Friday, and then you could apply it on Shabbat. You don't have to worry about it. So Rashi says here that the person, and apparently the people who would view him as well, will realize that since they're making all the preparations before Shabbos, they will realize that I'm not allowed to prepare something like this on Shabbos as permissible. It is somewhat difficult because usually we say medicine across the board is prohibited on Shabbos, and here but since he's making the preparation beforehand, here the Gemara is saying he could do it. So he says here, Bar Levi have a koi coming to Mar Ukva. So Bar Levi was standing before Mar Ukva. Chazi davamayit upatach. So give me 1 second. 1 second. Yeah. So Mar Ukva saw the Bar Levi was closing and opening his eyes. It means like he's trying to apply this medicinal solution to it. So he says, Chazi davamayit upatach. Amar Le. In other words, he had a kilorim and he's like blinking so the thing will go better into his eyes. He says, Ad kdei kach, Shmuel didn't permit that to be done. Shalakle Rabbi Yanai Lamar Ukva. So Rabbi Yanai sent to Mar Ukva, Lishad Lamar, Mihara Kilorim Demar Shmuel. Why don't you send us some samples of the kilorim Mar Shmuel? So Shalakle Shiduri Misha Darnalach, he says, I'm going to send you. Dlo Tema Tsar Ayanana, don't say I'm like, you know, miserly that I want to share with you. Elahakim or Shmuel. Shmuel says the real Eitza is Tova Tipatzon and Shachrit. Better like a drop of cold water in the eyes in the morning. Ruchisi Dain Raglaim Bechamin Arvid. And then, you know, washing your hands and feet with warm water in the evening. And that also some way helps the eyesight. He says, Mikol Kilurin Shibolam. Better than any Kilurim. Tani Nami Haki. Amar Rabbi Muna. Mishum Rabbi Huda. So that's the way, the best way. You don't need the kilurim, you just have the water and the other things. So now, the Gemara says, Hu ayo meir. So Rabuna would also say, Yad la'ai. Now the Gemara takes it, there's like, if a person touches his eye, his nose in the morning before he washes his hands. You should wash your hands 3 times on each hand. So there's some sort of ruach ra'ah known as bat melech, that like an evil spirit that resides on the hands, and you wash it, it goes away. And the Zohar says a little differently. So the Zohar, I mean, the other Mefarshim say that a person is like dead when he dies, so he's got like a ruach tuma. But touching the orifices, you know, before you wash your hands is not good. So the Gemara says, "Huayomer yad la'ayin." If you put your hands in the eye, tikatzes before you wash it, so it should be cut off. It means ruwi to be that yad la'chotem. If you touch your nose, tikatzes yad la'peh. If you touch your mouth, tikatzes yad la'ozen tikatzes. You touch your ear, yad la'chasuda tikatzes. If you cut like where the boil, where the lancet had cut in for blood, and it means any orifice. If you're catching any orifice, it's bad news. Yad la'ama tikatzes. If you touch the male member, Now, someone to say that Rashi is another pshat here. Someone to say that Yad La'ama just means that a man should not touch his male member because he might stimulate himself. He says, Yad Lafi Tabati Katze. So if a person touches the rectum before he washes his hands, should be cut off. Yad L'gigi Tikatze. So if a person touches a keg of sheikha or beer before he washes, Yad Misami, because the hand can't touch the eyes because it could cause blindness. Yad Machareshet, it causes deafness. He says, Yad Manla Polypos. It causes also polypos, which is like bad breath. So Tani Rabbi Natan Omer, Bat Churin Hizu, it means like this. This Ruach Ra'ah, which is Bat Melech, is like a free spirit. He says, Umak Peret, it's very makbid, strict, Achir Chosidav Shloshapamim. That a person doesn't leave it until a person washes his hands three times. The key is, you shouldn't touch food until you wash your hands, and you don't want anybody touching the food who hasn't washed their hands. So I heard somebody give a shir once. He says, like non-Jews, so they're the different getter. But it's something to keep in mind. Okay, now let me just do 3-4 lines. It'll be it, and we'll take questions. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Puch Mavir Bat Melech. Puch is like this mascara on the eyes, takes away the Bat Melech, this evil spirit. Uposek Adim and stops the tears. Umar Baseir Afapaim adds hair in the eyelids. I think right. He says, Tani Nami Hachi, Rabbi Yosef Meir, Puch Mavir Bat Melech, Puch, the mascara gets rid of Bat Melech, at least from the eye, Uposek Et Adima, it stops the tearing, or Beseyar Ba'af HaPayim. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did? All right, let me stop the recording.